A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host and Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Samach Beis, Shabbos 62A, pagination page 123, but we will start on the facing page where the piece of Gemara begins. So we're on page 122, Samach Aleph Amud Beis 61B. In the middle of the page, you'll see a two dots in the middle of a line. The beginning of that line is Mekabo Ksava Teku. And then there's the two dots. Iboy Luhu, they ask the following question. Kimiyin, amulets, which are something typically hanging from the way we know it. We encounter it hanging as a necklace, and it has a certain formula written inside of it, which is supposed to protect the person. So the question, of course, originally was, can you go out with it on Shabbos? But the question which the Gemara poses now is, Yesh ba mishum kedusha, o duma ein ba mishum kedusha, is there holiness to such a thing or not? It's going to write certain formulas, including Hashem's name, maybe some psukim, but it wasn't written in the way of Kisvei Kodesh, holy scripture. It's not like the book of Yehoshua or the book of Devarim or something like that. It's its own formula based on Torah. So the Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchasa, why does this concern you if it has holiness or not? If you want to know if you could carry it out on Shabbos when there's a fire and you should be allowed to take this out because it has holiness and we don't want it to burn. So Tashema, I can bring a proof to that. Habrachos v'hakamiyim. If they wrote up sections of prayer, or the kamiyim, these amulets that we're asking about, the rule is, afapesh yesh bam osios umeinyanos harbesh b'torah, even though it's based on Torah, ematzilin osam apnei adaleiko, you don't save it on Shabbos from a fire, you don't carry it out. V'nisrafim b'mekom, you let it burn in its place, the logic presumably is that you are not the one disrespecting it. You wouldn't purposely take something based on Torah and disgrace it. But if you're not the one doing it, it comes in right on the border. You wouldn't do it, but if it happens on its own, we can't justify a Shabbos violation for these types of things. So that is what the Gemara views as a no-brainer. It's a brisa. What's your problem? We know that you don't carry that out on Shabbos to save it. Second possibility of your question might be, what does it mean if it has holiness or not? Elalinyan geniza. You want to know if after its use you have to hide it. There used to be gonays. They used to hide it either in a geniza, in a specific place which was housed. You have the Dead Sea Scrolls, for example. They put them specifically in caves. You have the Cairo geniza, where they purposely put discarded holy papers in a room. So does this require that type of treatment? Nowadays, very often they bury it in glass, in a waterproof substance, a plastic of some sort, so that to the extent that we can, it should not be disgraced. Does it require that we make that effort rather than just dumping it? Tashema hayakosav al yudos hakelim al kari amita, if you have something kadosh written even on the legs of a bed or on the handles of a vessel, yagud v'yignazenu, you should cut it out and begonize it, hide it. So that's for sure. On the one hand, we don't save it from a fire, this type of item, and violate Shabbos. On the other hand, we're not allowed to discard it. When we're the ones doing the action, you have to cut it off before you discard the vessel and put that part of the thing into geniza. Sometimes you have places where they actually wrote something holy on the walls of a shul. So if they do construction, that part has to be cut out. Ella, what must be the case? So far we're on firm turf. We don't have any shilas that are unanswered. The question was, can you go into a, we like to translate it as a bathroom, But I noticed art school used latrine because our bathrooms are questionable since they're kept clean. It's not so clear that that's what they meant when they said a beis hakisei. So they like to use the word latrine, which means that the dirt is visible, is open. So in any case, going into such a room, my, what's the halacha? Yesh b'em kedusha v'asir. You're not allowed to go in with the amulet. O dilma im b'em kedusha v'shari. Or maybe it doesn't really have holiness, and therefore you could go into the latrine without a problem. So the Gemara brings a proof, which is how we got onto this topic, Tashema. V'lo b'kamiyah b'zman she'eno min ha-mumcha. You can't go out on Shabbos with a kamiyah if it's not from an expert. Meaning if it's from an amateur and you're just testing it out, so then you can't use it. But if it would be from a mumcha, ha-min ha-mumcha, but if it was from an expert, nafik, it seems that you're allowed to go out on Shabbos. And if so, we have a simple proof that you could go into a latrine on, with this amulet. Because if you were to tell me that the kamiyah has kedusha and you're not allowed to go into a latrine on Shabbos, there's a time that a guy's going to need a bathroom. You're telling me that he has to take it off. And we already did a few pages of this, that things that you might take off in public area, we're concerned that on your redressing, when you're ready to take it, you might carry it. You're not just going to put it down and put it back on. We had this with jewelry. We had this with things that the woman takes off in order to go to mikvah. So the same thing would be about a kamiyah. It must be, the assumption here is, that you're allowed to go into the latrine with this type of amulet. And therefore, on Shabbos, it isn't a problem. The Gemara in the next few lines questions, maybe the kamiyah was a case of ikarin, herbs, and therefore it has nothing to do with our case. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara backs off and says, no, it was quoted that this talks about even an amulet made of holy writings. Question the Gemara considers is the possibility that it's dealing with a cholesh yeshbo sakana, that it's dealing with a person who has danger to life illness. And again, the Braisa says, no, we were taught that whatever rule is over here is even for a person who's not life-threatening. On to today's daf, Samach Beis Amad Aleph, the third line. Hacha b'mayas kinon, the case that we're dealing with over here that allows the kamiyah into the latrine, and therefore you don't have a carrying issue, b'mechupa or, because the kamiyah is covered with hide, with a leather covering. And because it's sealed up in that way, it's considered covered for purposes of going into the Beis HaKiseh. The Mefarshim point out that this does not mean that you could take any holy thing, wrap it in a bag, and go into a latrine, because that is not sealed up and designated to be like that. But in this case of the kamiyah, it's sealed up, and that covering does the trick that it's not considered disrespectful to bring it into the Beis HaKiseh. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, which brings it into a very, very practical level. V'hari tefillin, your tefillin also have holy scripture inside. The mechupa aren, they're covered with hide. Can't get better than that. It actually mandates that it be covered with hide. That's the whole structure of tefillin. V'tanya, and we learned, everybody knows, anichnas leveis hakiseh, if you have to go into a beis hakiseh, cholitz tefillin v'richik dalet amas v'nichnas. You have to take them off before you go in. And the Gemara answers, hasa mishum shin. The shin on the shel rosh, on the head tefillin, that shin that protrudes is visible despite the cover because it is imprinted in the cover, this hide, and that's what stops you from taking it in. The shin of tefillin is a tradition from Moshe that that's what tefillin is. When Hashem explained to Moshe, when I say, we're tefillin, what do I mean? So square boxes, where to put it, etc. Included in that was the shin. The dalid of the tefillin, which is behind the head. V'amar Rabbi, Yud shel Tefillin alach l'mashim Sinai. And the Yud of Tefillin is also alach l'mashim Sinai. That's the knot that we make on the shel yad, on the arm Tefillin. Mishnah Berurah points out that you see from this Gemara that if it was just the Yud or the Dalid, which is made out of the straps, that wouldn't preclude you from taking it into the Beis HaKiseh. It's the Shin Shel Tefillin that really takes it into a halachic level. Whatever the Minhagim would be, we would for sure cover it. But strict halacha, it's the Shin that's the real essence of the issue. Why is the Shin different than the Dalid and the Yud? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because the Shin is derech ksiva. It's the way of writing. You can actually see it in a written type form. Whereas the Dalet and the Yud are straps forming in a way of the letter, and that's apparently not as holy and not as necessary for the honor. But the Shin is really what got us, even though they're all halacha l'moshe misinai. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.